भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text 22.
Etavan eva loke asmin pumsam dharma pra svrta Bhakti Yoga Bhagavati Tat. Did I miss a word? After Bhagavati, the next word here is Tat. Tat comes after Bhagavati. Okay. Tat nama grahana adibi etavan eva lokesmin pumsam dharma parasmrta Bhakti Yoga Bhagavati Thannama Grahanadibi Etavaneva Lokesmin Pumsam Dharma Parasmrta Bhakti Yoga Bhagavati Annama grahana dibi etavaneva lokesmin pumsam dharma parasmrita bhakti yogo bhagavati thannama grahana dibi
please chant Ladies, please. Itavan, this much. Eva, indeed. Loki Asmin, in this material world. Pumsam, of the living entities. Dharma, the religious principles. Para, transcendental. Smrita, recognized. Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga or devotional service. Bhagavati, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not to the demigods. Tat, his. Nama, of the holy name. Grahana Adibi, beginning with chanting. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. Please repeat, devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. As stated, purport, as stated by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, as stated in the previous verse, Dharman Bhagavatam, real religious principles are Bhagavat Dharma, the principles described in Srimad Bhagavatam itself or in Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary study of Bhagavatam. What are these principles? The Bhagavatam says, Dharma Projita Kaitavo Tra. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there are no cheating religious systems. Everything in the Bhagavatam is directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam further says, Savai pum sam paro dharmo yato bhaktir at hok saje. The supreme religion is that which teaches its followers how to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the reach of experimental knowledge. Such a religious system begins with tanama grahana, chanting of the holy name of the Lord, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam. After chanting the holy name of the Lord and dancing in ecstasy, one gradually sees the form of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, and the transcendental qualities of the Lord. This way one fully understands the situation of the Personality of Godhead. One can come to this understanding of the Lord. But how he descends into the... One can come to this understanding of the Lord, how he descends into the material world, how he takes his births, and what activities he performs. But one can know this only by executing devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakyamam abhijanati, simply by devotional service, one can understand everything about the Supreme Lord. If one fortunately understands the Supreme Lord in this way, the result is tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti. After giving up his material body, he no longer has to take birth in this material world. Instead, he returns home, back to Godhead. That is the ultimate perfection. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 15, Mam upetya punar janma dukhalayam ashashvatam napnu vanti mahatmana samsidim paramam gata, which means, quote, after attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Omaginati mirandasyagananjana shalakaya shakshur anmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Before beginning, I want to thank you all for attending this class, and I pray for your blessings that I may say something useful and beneficial for not only everyone here, but for myself as well. So this verse is a very important one. I'll read the English translation again. Devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. That may be aptly termed the core of our entire movement. It is all focused or all bound up in this very simple, beautiful, concise, and impactive verse. Devotional service, beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. It might be better called the core verse, because out of this particular principle, which is the essential devotional principle, it is mentioned here that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle. It's not a secondary or tertiary, but the ultimate, the highest, the greatest. And this is, of course, corroborated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that's another one. I wasn't thinking of that. But yes, that could. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, nasteva gatir anyata. To achieve God realization in this age of Kali, chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. There is no other way, no other way, no other way. What I was thinking of is Jivera Swarupahoy Krishnera Nitya Das. That the constitutional position of a living entity is to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. And that is what this verse is all about. It's about becoming a servant of the Lord. That is our inherent position. Actually, we must serve someone. We serve our bodies, but we have to serve beyond that. We may serve the material energy and just try to become, for example, through this service, become more beautiful, more wealthy, more strong or powerful or influential, more famous, more knowledgeable materially, and somewhat to be detached, or as they say, becoming a cool cat. So, this is serving the material energy. It is also serving the false ego. This false ego is that principle in which we believe that we are the body, that our body is ourselves. Our mind is ourselves, which percolates thoughts which are based upon this false principle. And our intellect is ourselves. And so, starting out with this idea that I am my body, then everything I do will be an attempt to gratify the body or gratify the senses of the body so that I feel I am bigger and better and greater and higher every day. We came into this material world from the spiritual world originally in order to become a Lord. We wanted to taste what it's like to be a Lord. To be a Lord means to have power over someone. Someone bows down to you. Someone glorifies you. Someone adores you. Someone praises you. Someone applauds you. This gives one a sense of lordship. I'm important. I'm valuable. I'm great. I'm tremendous. Look at all these people are just hanging on my word. So having this mentality, of course, is a very terrible mentality to have, because when you have so many billions of souls clustered together and each one trying to be a lord, well, they're going to be conking heads somewhere along the line. If I want to be lord of, for example, some particular subject, and you want to be the Lord, and you beat me, then I'm going to try to beat you. And if I beat you, you may be envious of me until you defeat me. And after you defeat me, I again try to defeat you. So the whole life becomes a fruitless exercise in trying to defeat somebody and feeling bigger and greater and better, higher, because I have this little sense of bloated identity. The false ego is very much like a blimp. Every time we accomplish something, or we acquire something, we achieve something, the blimp gets a little bigger. You know, like the Goodyear blimp? So this is the bad life blimp. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we keep thinking we're better, we're higher, according to this particular situation. And even if one is not famous, even if one is not great, even if one is not being applauded, if he's a family person, he has a child, he can lord it over his kid. Or he may try to lord it over his wife. His wife may try to lord it over him. He may try to lord it over his relatives. Or he has a dog. If his wife lords it over him and he can't do anything, he's henpecked and he feels incapable, he has a dog, so he can lord it over the dog. Hey, get over here. Over there. No, over there. And he can put the dog on his lap. He can pat the dog and look so that the dog licks his face. And see, just see my opulence. My dog is licking my face. How wonderful. What an accomplishment. So when the dog runs after the cat and he feels lord, and the cat runs after the mouse and he feels lord, and the mouse runs after the cockroach and he feels lord, and the cockroach runs after the ant and he feels... So everybody gets an opportunity to feel like a lord. All fruitless, all useless, all worthless, because all that so-called sense of lordship or accomplishment is what? It ends at the time of death. When we die, we don't take our wealth with us. We don't take our beauty with us. We don't take our influence, our power with us. Everything that we have accomplished, all our certificates and diplomas and trophies and medals, all gone at the time of death. And that's why a person is so frightened, so fearful, so anxious, so worried at the time of death, because he's about to leave everything that gave meaning and value and purpose to his existence. He doesn't have anything. He's becoming a big, huge zero. That's frightening. You've been thinking all your life you're somebody, you're something, you're wonderful, you're great, you're tremendous, and now you're suddenly zero. Very shaky, very frightening, very upsetting, very disturbing. That's why Srila Prabhupada, in his infinite mercy, has come here to show us who we really are. And that was the first point that he made in his teachings, that we should understand that we are not our bodies, we are the spiritual soul within. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. It has not come into being, it doesn't come into being, and it will not come into being. It is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. It is not slain when the body is slain. It can't be destroyed by, cannot be destroyed by any weapons, can't be burned by fire, can't be moistened by the water, can't be dried by the wind. It is eternal, ever-existing. We are forever. That's our real identity. And Srila Prabhupada mercifully told us who, not only who we are, but where we are. That we exist in the heart. That's where the soul has its existence. From there it radiates. And it radiates through the subtle body into the physical body. And it keeps every cell of our body alive. As the Gita says, as the sun alone illuminates this entire universe, so does the soul, one within the body, illuminate the entire body by consciousness. So consciousness is flowing all over the body. As soon as consciousness stops flowing into a particular part, that part can become completely useless. Quite often this happens when gangrene sets into a part. The energy of the soul is unable, it's blocked, and so the part deteriorates. So here we have this principle of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada very often uses two particular words, and they are found throughout the purports. One of them is serious, and the other is sincere. In fact, he often uses them together. And they are really words that we have to always be asking ourselves, how serious am I about devotional service? How sincere am I in devotional service? So first we have to know and understand truly what do these words mean? What does it mean to be a serious devotee? And the way Srila Prabhupada uses the words, he uses it perfectly, because if you look it up in your dictionary, you'll find that it essentially says to be deeply interested or involved in a subject in a responsible way. So if we are serious about developing Krishna consciousness, then we will involve ourselves deeply. We will become interested in a very focused fashion. And we will also be very responsible. Good example of responsibility. Certain devotees have deity service. They're supposed to be here at a certain time, at a certain hour, a certain minute. And if they show up each time, it shows they are serious about their deity service. They may have to dress the deities. They may have to do some cleansing of the deities. But if they show up on time, it shows they're serious about that. If they chant their 16 rounds every day, as they vowed to do when they were initiated, that shows another degree of seriousness. There are different levels and different degrees of seriousness. And as we all move on and advance, we find that we become more deeply immersed in the different aspects of Krishna consciousness, and our seriousness in direct proportion increases. Another principle, as I said, that Prabhupada uses is to be sincere. So what does it mean to be sincere? Well, basically, when we speak of sincerity, we mean genuine. Not putting on airs, not being hypocritical, but being free from pretense or hypocrisy. In other words, we really mean what we say, and we say what we mean. This is sincerity. A person who doesn't mean what he says he's going to do something, but he doesn't do it, and he never intended to do it, but he says he's going to do it anyway, just to sound spiritual or sound important or sound like he's together. This is not being sincere. A person lies to you, deceives you, exaggerates unnecessarily. This is not being sincere. And we all love being with people who are sincere, because we can trust them. We can feel we can open our hearts to them. We can feel that if we tell them something, and please don't reveal this to anyone else because I consider it personal, and I wouldn't want it known to others because other people may take it in a wrong way, etc. So that person, you can trust him. And there are certain people that if we can trust them, this is a wonderful type of person to know. So sincerity means, as I said, to be genuine. And we need to always, of course, try to be genuine in our Krishna consciousness. Being genuine means that if I say I'm going to do something, then I do it. And if some reason comes up that I'm unable to do it, then I let you know that something has come up. It's very difficult. I'm sorry that I... In other words, it's not just left and, you know, you tell them the next day you don't show up or you don't call them or you don't do what you said and just leave it like that. As I said, that to be serious means to act in a responsible way, not just to be deeply interested and involved in a subject, but to be so in a responsible way. You can't show up for the deity, to dress the deities, or to do the artic, or whatever it is, then we have to call, for example, we have Rabindranath. Or you let him know, or you let somebody know who will tell him. It means that we have a relationship beyond our own little bodies and minds and intelligence. Our relationship extends to everyone in this particular room and ultimately to everyone in the world. We make the world better, greater, higher, bigger by virtue of how we manifest these two principles of being serious in our devotional service and sincere in our devotional service. So those two words are good words to keep in mind. And I know I ask myself, am I being serious? Am I being sincere? Or am I being flim-flam? Am I a hypocrite? Am I doing things just to look very spiritual? Am I putting on a show? Or do I really mean what I say? Am I saying what I mean? So this is very important. In the principle of devotional service, as in all things, there are different levels of devotional service. Everyone is not performing it on the same level. So, for example, Srila Prabhupada, he performed his devotional service, and he was a perfect emblem or a perfect expression or manifestation of these two principles of being serious and sincere. You could not find Srila Prabhupada for a moment, whether he was preaching on the Vyasasan, whether he's walking, whether he's having a room conversation, whether it was a morning walk. He was always immersed, always involved, always centered in Krishna consciousness. And he did that, first of all, because he was in love with Krishna. That's the first reason. He loved Krishna, and he felt so much benefit, so much bliss, so much happiness, that you cannot help, if you're feeling that, to want to share it. And he made the supreme sacrifice, of course, of coming from India on a steamer, suffering two heart attacks, seasickness, and all of these things he did without thinking anything about it. All he thought is, I have a mission to carry on, do or die, I'm coming there, I'll do the best that I can. So Srila Prabhupada, he manifested these very wonderful qualities in his devotional service. And he emphasized it so many times by telling us about great souls, his own spiritual master. He talked about Ambarish Maharaj, King Ambarish, who would use his eyes to look at the deities, to look at great devotees, who would use his ears to hear wonderful shlokas or verses from the scriptures. He would use his tongue to chant holy mantras, the holy name of the Lord. He would use his legs to walk to the temple. He would use his hands to offer flowers to the deities. Every part of his body was used in a devotional fashion. And plus, he had to run the kingdom. And because he was so fixed and firm and focused in his devotional service, he could feel, he could know, he could sense that he was doing this as a love offering to Krishna. His service, he had to go and kill people. He was a king. He had to defend, he had to protect. Just as Krishna did and Arjuna. And in doing this, he did it not for his own gratification, glorification, for his own building of the big blimp, false ego, as some of the demoniac kings were doing during Krishna's time and for whom he came to destroy. But he did it for the satisfaction of Krishna. And this is what devotional service is all about. There is one level of it, for example. A person may perform devotional service very much like a worldly person performs his duties. Doesn't think of Krishna at all. Doesn't even think that this is a great service. Great because Krishna has authorized it. Krishna has mentioned it in the scriptures. The spiritual master has brought it to us. So it is being done Because Krishna wants it to be done, and if he wants it to be done, then it gives him satisfaction when it is done. But a person may perform devotional service without even the thought of Krishna. He's just serving. He gets benefit. We should not forget that. A person can do any activity which gives or which serves Krishna, the person will be benefited. But there are all different degrees of benefit. I think all of us would want to get, if possible, the highest benefit that is available to us. Krishna says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. So, to the degree that we surrender, and everyone is not surrendering 100%, some are surrendering 90%, 60%, 40%. Wherever they, to whatever degree they are surrendering, to that degree the Krishna is rewarding. But sometimes he even gives more gifts, more blessings than we ever deserve. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Krishna who has invested himself in his own name so that when we touch the name with our tongue, we are touching Krishna. To touch Krishna is the greatest benediction that one can ever get. So when we are chanting the holy name, if we chant it with that realization that I am touching Krishna, Krishna is touching me, even though I may not be aware of the infinite bliss, the infinite peace, the infinite love that Krishna has, but even if I'm aware of it in even a small, tiny bit, this is a blessing. This is so great because I'm associating with the person who is most high, most gracious, most munificent. And Lord Chaitanya has come, Srila Prabhupada has come in that same understanding to share what he had so that others may also become peaceful and blissful and joyful and strong and vigorous and confident in the consciousness of Krishna. As Krishna says, one who is not connected with me in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental peace nor intelligence. So in order to have transcendental peace or intelligence, one has to be consciously connected. We're all connected. We can never be disconnected from Krishna. That's a fact. But we can disconnect our consciousness of our relationship with Krishna. And that is what this whole Krishna consciousness movement is about. To revive that awareness of the fact that we have a relationship with Krishna. And all of the different activities that we perform, hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, are means by which we revive the consciousness of Krishna so that we can feel His presence. When we feel His presence in greater and greater degree, the desire for different sense pleasure grows less and less and less. Because if we have great pleasure within, there is less need to seek pleasure without. Inner pleasure, inner peace, inner strength, inner joy, inner love, inner freedom. All the things that people seek outside, which they never can find except in the most minuscule temporary fashion, are available to us within. So the first person, he may just, as I said, perform devotional service without any thought of Krishna. And he gets benefit because it is for Krishna. And then the second devotee, he is aware of the fact that he is serving Krishna. He may be cooking, he may be sweeping, he may be distributing books. Whatever he is doing, he's aware of the fact that this is for Krishna. But there's not much emotional feeling behind that. But he gets more benefit because he is aware that, yes, I have a great, this is a great blessing for me. He has some appreciation that so many millions and billions of people are there and they're not even aware of who they are, why they're here, or what their relationship is with Krishna. But I have a relationship with Krishna and he's given me a service. And how wonderful, how rich my life is. He has this understanding. That's a higher level of devotional service than the first person. And he will get a different degree of benefit as well. Because he's conscious of the fact, he's treasuring, he's appreciating what he has. Not taking it for granted, not thinking that he deserves it, not taking it cheaply or lightly, but considering that it is the most precious. It's like a miser. He holds a diamond in his hand so tightly. He doesn't want anybody to steal it. He holds it close to his heart. He may even put it under his pillow when he goes to sleep at night. Why? Because that's his love. A third level of devotional service goes even further. There is a saying not only in our Krishna consciousness movement, but in just about every religion in the world, and that is, pray constantly. Never stop praying. And if you're even conversing, in the back of your mind, pray. In our movement, we have this very wonderful phrase, never forget Krishna and always remember Krishna. This is prayer. This particular phrase is the basis of all scripture. All the scriptures are the servants of these two principles. Never forget Krishna and always remember Krishna. So the third type of person who is in devotional service, he's come even further. Let me just say this. Every bit of devotional service that one performs, whether it's like the first person, indifferent, uncaring, without any particular thought about Krishna, robotic, mechanical, just do it, get it done, that's it. Every person who serves Krishna in even the tiniest degree will be blessed and will be benefited. And that blessing begins to multiply. So from the first stage of devotional service, one may slowly come to a higher level where he actually appreciates what he's doing, and he considers that even though he doesn't deserve to receive this devotional service, great personalities like Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession gurus, they have all helped me to come to where I am, where I can serve Krishna, the greatest job, the greatest activity in the world. And the third, which is the ultimate, which is mentioned in this verse here, the ultimate principle of devotion, the ultimate religious principle is the chanting of the holy name. But he chants as a prayer, the way Srila Prabhupada has told us we should pray. My dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in your loving service. He does this with a sense of intensity, almost with desperation, because he knows at any moment he can die. Any second he can be taken away. As I speak now, I'm sure 100 people have died this minute, someplace in the world. And we will be following one day. There's no question about it. So, if that is going to happen, why should we not make the best use? Why should we not, when we leave this world, be in full Krishna consciousness? So the person who's a devotee in the highest stage is actually, he's communicating with Krishna. My dear Lord, thank you for this mercy. I'm unworthy of it. I don't deserve it. And I'm begging you, I'm so full of faults. I'm so full of uncertainties. I have doubts. I'm incapable of serving you with love. I have so little love for you. I don't even chant your holy name with intensity, with enthusiasm. I don't have much of a taste for it, but I am begging you, please help me. Help me to become better in all of these things. Help me to do my service in such a way that it will be pleasing to you. And the only way it can be pleasing to you, I think, is that if it becomes perfect. And it can become perfect only if the all-perfect one, such as yourself, perfects it, lives through me, lives in me, and makes it whole, makes it perfect, makes it shine, makes it glitter in such a way that you will be pleased by it. And I am begging you, because all I live for is to please you now. I have no other interest in life. Pleasing you gives me the greatest of pleasure. And help me to share that which you give to me in the form of inner bliss, inner joy, inner strength, inner love. Help me to share this anywhere and everywhere so that others who are suffering, others who are who are weeping, others who are sobbing because of their illusions, because of their delusions, because of their uncertainties, doubts, bewilderment, and puzzlement. Help me to relieve them of that as well. I can't do it. I don't either have the strength or the intelligence. I'm fallen, I'm worthless, I'm useless, but you, You, Krishna, are so perfect and pure and great and good that I beg you, please, seeing my horrible qualities, please remove them and enable me to do something excellent that will give you pleasure. But I can't do it unless you work through me. So let me be your instrument. Let me accept whatever comes into my life. Since I've devoted my life, I've surrendered my life to you, now whatever you want to do, do. Make me dance, as Prabhupada says in that Jaladuta prayer, make me dance. I am yours to do what you want with me as you want. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If there are some questions or comments, I know I've gone a little over. Any question? Nothing? Thank you again. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.